In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Christos voskrese. Today is already the third Sunday of Pascha, and the Sunday in which we commemorate the holy myrrh bearers, and also Joseph of Arimathea, and Nicodemus. And I think the most important part of this reading is, well, there's actually two parts that are equally important. But the beginning of the reading has something that, when Father Nicholas read it, it was properly translated. It says that Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and became bold. I don't know how it is in Greek or in Slavonic, but it, in many English translations, it's came in boldly. Well, that's true. He did come in boldly. But he came in boldly because he became bold. He became bold at the end. A secret follower of Jesus, a man with wealth and prestige in society, who loved Jesus, followed his teachings, but did it secretly. So he was a little bit afraid. He was afraid that he'd either lose his position, or perhaps he'd be ostracized, or perhaps he'd even be imprisoned by the Jewish authorities. But after Jesus had died and been abandoned by everybody except for John and his mother, he became bold. What does this mean? Well, we shouldn't laud Joseph for being a secret disciple. He should have publicly been a disciple. But you know, things happen. Sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. And he came to an understanding when he saw his Lord on the cross that he had to show who he was. It was his moment of truth. It was his time to show what he believed. And so he did. He became bold. He went into Pilate and asked for the body and was given it. It was somewhat of a surprise to Pilate because he'd only been on the cross 3 hours. Generally, someone would linger on the cross for upwards of 2 days because that was the purpose of crucifixion, was a slow death. But Christ chose when he wanted to die. So he died only less than 3 hours or so after he was crucified. And then Joseph with Nicodemus hastily took the body and prepared it. They had to do everything quickly because it was almost time for the Passover, which would begin with sundown. So they didn't have time to do much. They prepared the body as best they could. They didn't anoint it as they usually would. And they put it in Joseph's tomb, which he had prepared for himself. Now, here's something else that's important. Mary and Mary beheld where he was laid. They saw, and Salome also, they were watching. And they saw where he was laid. Otherwise, they wouldn't have known where to go. They wouldn't have known where he was buried. Even though they were not completely right at the cross, his mother was for the most part, but certainly Mary Magdalene and Salome were further off. They watched everything. And they did not abandon their Lord, even though it's clear that they believed he was dead. Because you don't go on Sunday morning, after the Sabbath is passed, with myrrh and aloes to anoint a living person. The things they were bringing were things to prepare a dead body, as it should have been prepared on the day of his death. But they couldn't do it because of the Sabbath. So they did it as early as possible. They were going to anoint a dead body. Now, taking a body down from the cross, preparing it as best you can, bringing myrrh and aloes, these are ordinary things, ordinary parts of the Jewish life. And we have many ordinary parts of our life too. But they were done in extraordinary ways. They were done by a man who formerly was afraid to say who he was and became bold. Not when the Lord was being hailed as God, with the children throwing down branches and saying Hosanna in the highest, not at the pinnacle of his life, but at the end, when he was abandoned, when people were slandering him and saying, if he said he could raise, why he raised others, why can't he raise himself? And then the myrrh-bearing women, they had followed him and been part of his retinue throughout most of his ministry. And then all was lost. He was dead. But they did not abandon him. And that's what we should be, brothers and sisters. There's a lot of things in life where basically just holding on is what we need to do. Just endurance. The Lord says through the apostle, he who endureth to the end will be saved. So, endure. Just do the right things. Maybe sometimes you don't even have all the knowledge you need to have, and maybe you don't even get it right completely. I mean, funny in an ironic kind of way, is this question that the women had as they were going towards the tomb. They said, who will roll away for us the stone from the door of the sepulcher? It was a huge stone. It would have taken many men with fulcrums to get it in place. How are they going to get it moved? They had no idea. And yet they went to the tomb. I think if you look closely in your life, there's a lot of things like that. There are in my life. I have no idea how stuff is going to get done sometimes. No idea at all. But trust in God. And God will help you. There's a lot of stones in our life. But if we just do the right thing because of honor, fidelity, then the Lord will move the stone. You can think of the stone as anything you want to think. It has metaphorical meanings. But basically, the stone is anything big in your life that you can't figure out how to move. But you know that you've got to get around it in order to be a Christian. So, these women had a stone and they didn't have any idea how it would be moved. But they went. So with us, we have stones in our life. We just have to do the right thing. And do things that might appear to be ordinary. To say our prayers even though, well, we don't really feel it very much this day. To pray for others although we feel distracted when we do so. To come to the church services with fidelity, with consistency, even though we don't see necessarily that we changed a whole lot when we went to the service. We still had the same passions on Monday morning. But if you do the right thing consistently, you'll be like Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, and the women. They didn't have full understanding. They didn't get everything right. They didn't do everything perfectly. They had errors in their conduct and in their belief. But they had something that you cannot be without if you're going to be a Christian. And that is fidelity to our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you live this way, then those stones that are in your life, they will be rolled away. Every single one of them. So may God help you to be like the women. And to be like Joseph and Nicodemus. Don't worry about if you get everything right. Don't worry about if you understand everything. Don't worry about any of that. Just worry about this. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Just do what's right in your soul. Now I have to give you one warning. If you're secular in the way you live, you won't know what's right. If you have the wrong priorities, then you won't know the right things to do all the time. And you'll be blind to those things. So, it really is not so important whether or not you're good at these things. It matters whether or not you have the desire to follow the Lord and do things according to your ability as the Lord reveals them to you. If you're able to fast, you fast. If you're able to pray, you pray. You get rid of things in your life that are in your way. And remember that these men and these women, they did ordinary things extraordinarily. And so must we. Life is full of ordinary stuff. But the ordinary stuff is what proves that we love the Lord. Our ordinary morning prayers and our ordinary evening prayers and coming to the services and fasting and praying for others, reading of the Scriptures, struggling against our passions, maybe just a tiny victory in a given week, maybe just a little tiny thing that we did better this week than maybe we'd ever done in our lives. And that's how you are saved. So may God help you in all things. May God help you to just be true to the Lord. And then He'll roll away all the stones in your life. Amen.